Whether you are new or old to Scrum, you probably started all the same way. Yeah, you got a certification, you were sent to some classes, and you just started sprinting. And along the way, you've made some adjustments to the way that you operate and the way you've normalized your practice. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, we got to adjust to improve, right? The challenge becomes, though, that we are maybe changing for the sake of changing. Or we're changing because we're being told to change, or we're changing for the wrong motive, right? And just so our motivation is just not there, not right. So we have to be really careful of like over-processing. You've heard me say this before, that the process can't be the product. The process has to improve the product. And so sometimes several iterations of our changes to our practice end up really becoming the product. And we want to make sure that we're improving what we're doing. So some of you may be experiencing some issues with the productivity or the outcome or the value attained within your sprint. So this episode today, welcome back to Planet Product Owner, by the way. This is your host, Scott, if you're just now joining us. Today's episode on the sprint, it will be the first of a string of episodes that I'm planning to release about the ceremonies. I call them ceremonies. You guys know I prefer ceremonies over events. I don't like the updates to the Scrum Guide. Hey, it's just a word, right? But again, words mean something to me. So sometimes we just have to recenter. We got to reorient. We got to get back into focus on some fundamentals here. And so I'm going to make this incredibly simple for you. For those of you who are new in this journey, I just want to make sure that you understand that when I provide some of these solutions and some of these thinking patterns to you, it's like they didn't say that in the book, of course, duh, because I give you the stuff that's not found in the book. And for those of you who have been on the journey for a little while, you already know this. So one thing to start with as a basis for today's content, though, and today's topic is let's spend a moment. You guys love this part of the show, as do I. Let's spend a moment for a reading from the Scrum Guide, because we have to talk about the sprint. I want to give you three areas today to focus, to help you focus on improving that actual sprint. But let's start with a reading from the Scrum Guide. So sprints are the heartbeat of Scrum. It's where ideas are turned into value. Wow, that's a big statement, like in and of itself. They're fixed length events of 1 month or less to create consistency. So we're setting expectations already, right? We're managing those expectations. New sprint starts immediately after the conclusion of the previous sprint. All the work necessary to achieve the product goal. Set a mouthful there, and you got to pay attention to that. That's a really critical input here, okay? Or predecessor, I guess. Including, we ready? Sprint planning, daily scrum, sprint review, sprint retro. All of that stuff happens within sprints. So we just rattled off all of the ceremonies from the Scrum Guide. All right, it's all right there in the statement that corresponds to describing what the sprint is. So, ready? So we know what it is, fixed length event to create consistency. During the sprint, no changes are made that would endanger the sprint goal. Not going to talk about that one today. Quality does not decrease. I will talk about that one today. Product backlog is refined as needed. I will touch on that. And scope may be clarified and renegotiated with the product owner as more is learned. We might touch on it, but maybe not so much about the scope. Okay. All right. So I'm not going to go into the rest of the thing here, okay? But the main thing we want to focus on is allowing the team to focus on their commitments. And we want to have some kind of potentially shippable product or at least code, right? That is the goal for us at the end of this thing. We want to make sure that we're value-driven. Now, today what I'm going to do is cover a few things that you're maybe experiencing. And obviously, I mean, this is why I do it. I'm going to give you some solutions for those things that you're experiencing, maybe some of these anti-patterns that we've fallen into or some of the problems that you're experiencing, and maybe help to help you solve these things going in. Okay. So welcome back to, again, the Planet Product Owner podcast. Again, this is your host, Scott. Sorry, it's been such a delay in getting some episodes out here, but I have been in the progress of a move. So I am kind of getting back into the swing of things here, I hope, pretty soon. And so you guys just bear with me. I'm not even going to promise you any cadence anymore. I'm not even going to make it. But I will say that I've got out of this hobby here, I have felt really compelled to bring you guys a string of episodes and cover these ceremonies. I call them ceremonies from the sprint. From the Scrum Guide. So here we go. Let's talk about the sprint and how we can help that. So sit back, buckle up, and let's get to Planet Product Owner. So when we talk about some of the problems or challenges, I guess, that we encounter, some of you are encountering some of these things today. I know you are. Others have encountered it in the past, and I look forward to how you overcame some of those challenges. If you would just drop me a note, scott@planetproductowner.org, or shoot me a message there. You can see my profile on LinkedIn. I'm going to add to the videos, by the way. I may have mentioned this in the first segment. I can't remember because I'm on like take 74,000 of this actual segment. That the YouTube channel at Planet Product Owner is up and running. I haven't contributed much content to that lately, but I plan on doing that after the move and getting more situated here. So back to the topic today, the sprint. Remember that the sprint is a time for us to commit to, you know, a certain amount of delivery that advances towards a sprint goal, right? And so what happens, though, is what we see is that there may be a lack of vision for the team to connect to. There may be a lack of ownership even in the outcome or the output, whichever it is that we're doing. And maybe the work is not so much qualified, right? And so in order to help us qualify the work that we're doing and provide a purpose to the team, there's something that we can do here. If you're struggling with the team really having some ownership in that output or that outcome, whichever it is, again, that you're maybe working on in your part of the journey, I hope you're getting more to outcome over output, but that's just part of the deal, part of the growth. There is something that we can, there's a tool that we can use too to help the product owner and product manager stay focused on that product goal, on that product vision, because that's really what it is that we're wanting to achieve. We're wanting to achieve the product goal. We got to understand it though. So one way to help us get the team's attention on the current sprint and to help us with that is to have them focus on reaching a sprint goal. That's the first thing that we've got to look at. A lot of people don't buy into the whole concept of a sprint goal, but look, I don't want my team to just aimlessly wander around during our time, during our interval, during our increment here, you know. Let's give them a path to success. Let's help them understand, look, here's the vision. Here's the broader vision. Now, here is how we're going to get there. These are the sequences of work or those built-in quality checkpoints that I talk about in one of the videos online, you know. So the more that we can encourage the team to craft a sprint goal, then the more accountability we are providing to the PO or PM to stay focused on that product goal and that overall vision. And you're like, okay, well, how does that really help that? Well, look, if your team can't assemble around the work that's been selected or around the requests, and if they can't like assemble that into a sprint goal and maybe a secondary sprint goal, I know I've talked about in the past about the benefit of having a primary and a secondary. But at the very least, we got to have something that says we can qualify what we're going to be doing here at the end of this and what we're going to be showing you at the end of this sprint in our demo. We can qualify that with a statement, whether it be a problem statement, an opportunity statement, whether it be just a general description of the output or outcome that we're seeking, whatever it is. Let's formulate that sprint goal and let's craft that. Now, we're going to do that in sprint planning. I'm not going to dive into how we do that in this episode, but I'm going to follow up with a sprint planning episode and see if we can help you guys get down to the nitty gritty on that stuff. All right. Now, providing that purpose for the team is really important in helping them understand how they're going to be successful in reaching that product goal. And it's going to help, obviously, like promote, I guess, the accountability factor for the product owner and product manager when we use the sprint goal. Okay, I've beaten that one up enough, Scott. Let's move on to the second point here. How can we help the team keep their attention and their focus on the current sprint? Well, first of all, let's acknowledge, okay, 80 to 90% of the team's focus should be on the current sprint. That you're not going to get 100%, quite certain of that. I've seen it time and time again. If you are getting 100% attention of the team on your current sprint, then please send me an email, scott@planetproductowner.org. Tell me how you pulled off that unicorn. I would be really interested to know. We have entry and exit criteria sometimes on work, right? Or on phases, lanes, columns, system, board, whatever. But we don't only have to stick to working agreements to the board or to the system. There are other working agreements, team level working agreements that we can acknowledge and respect, which might help us to pay attention to the current sprint and give that focus there. So one of the things that I think is really important is for us to acknowledge some of the things that are actually keeping us from our focus or our attention on there. Okay. And so we can actually curb some of those behaviors in the working agreement. So let me give you an idea here. And this kind of correlates to the third point under the team's attention to the sprint is taking notes on cues that are given by the team. So let me give you an example. I had a standing open office time set up where, since we were all virtual, I just set up this office time, right? It was an open office. You could drop in, come and go as you needed. Team could use that time in my virtual room, my meeting room, whatever, to collaborate, to ask questions. You got questions, I got answers. Here we go. Let's just all utilize this time. Well, it turns out that nobody was really like taking advantage of that time. And so I don't want to dive into the retro, but what I would say is that, look, if we could just take a note, right, as a product owner, as a team member, as a scrum master, whatever, we're seeing things that are recurring behavioral patterns, right, that are really anti-patterns to our focus and to our attention. So I know that seems like duh, right? But it's important for us to reorient and recenter on what we're really trying to do here. And if the team's attention is not on the current sprint, then we have to help them do that. So if we're able to modify the working agreements and think in terms of what kinds of working agreements can we put in place that would allow the team to focus, right? That's one way, but the other is to take notes on those cues given. And so here's what I did. I said, okay, since nobody's taking advantage of that time, nobody's really honoring that or respecting it or doesn't have time for it or whatever, I have to ask them why. Is this of value? Why are you unable to attend? Do you not find that this is valuable, or do you just have all the answers? I mean, it's one thing if you're actually being productive in that thing, but if you're not being productive in the sprint and nobody's taking advantage of that kind of time, then we have to understand why. It could be something as simple as the time is wrong, or it's just the day is wrong, the day of the week or whatever, or maybe they're still hesitant on actually, having kind of that one-on-one time with you. So that is one thing that we can do for sure is getting those cues given by the team, bring that up in the retro. That's another event or ceremony that is designed for this kind of thing. Sticking to your working agreements. After you modify those working agreements or update them, stick to them. And if you need some changes, there's a time and place. Again, it's in the retro for that. But let's honor those while we're in that sprint. Let's try it, see how it goes. There was a reason why we put those in place. And then finally, let's make sure that we're focusing on that sprint goal. All right. So that's one way that we can keep, those are three ways, I guess, three things that can help us keep attention on the current sprint. We're going to go to the next topic real quick here. When we're talking about the sprint and having an effective sprint, right, the second thing we want to do is make sure that we're staying ahead of and targeting those impediments. We got to stay ahead of the work. We got to target and remove impediments and facilitate the removal of those impediments, as the guide says. So you got that one person or team who continually hijacks your stuff, right? They're hijacking your backlog, your work. You got that one team. Or that one individual, whichever it is, that's the usual suspect of not giving you the enabler work that you need, or even that team that you're giving the enabler work to. They gotta have it by sprint two of this quarter or PI, and then it sits on the shelf and they don't ever consume it, right? Or maybe you even got that one person who doesn't agree with the direction, or they're changing their mind on the direction, or whatever's happening here. How do we handle folks like that? Well, some of you journeyers who have been with me for a little while know. And so, for the new guys here on the journey of Planet Product Owner, share care time. You knew I was going to say it. Develop that share care time, establish it with the product owner, with the external dependencies, with the team leads, with the managers, with this primary sponsor or stakeholder, whoever it is, right? Identify who those folks are who are hijacking your stuff or even a person of interest or influence who can help you with that. Identify that one team lead or that influencer or decision maker that's not giving you the enabler work that you need. Identify that person who is not agreeing with or who is hijacking the direction, so to speak, or doesn't even understand what the direction should be. Get that share care time going with them. And for those new on the show here, share care time, what I call, is about 15, 30 minutes, whatever it is, whatever you can afford, whatever you can agree on, right? Talk about what the team just did. Show them. Don't just talk about it. Show them the work. Let them know what you have planned coming up next, and then ask them what's new or what kinds of things are going to impede us, right? And so that's the way that we can help stay ahead and target the removal of the impediments. The next thing that we can do is this, is, you know, here's what I see a lot of times that kind of takes our focus, or not really our focus, but it aids in the ineffectiveness, I guess, of our sprints, is that we see trends like a long flat line in the burn down chart at the end of the sprint, at the beginning. So in the beginning, we see this long flat line, and then maybe we see a spike or two, and then maybe we get a lot of rollover, or we get that old cliff towards the end. You know, we get that cliff, that drop down towards the end of it, but we still roll a bunch of stuff over. The way that I handle this is entertaining a backlog refinement session, because your team has questions and you should have answers, product owner. All right, so make sure that we're honoring that if you're seeing some of those things. Now, don't overprocess this thing, all right? I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, something where we have to pull out all of the pageantry of, you know, honoring a huge ceremony, so to speak. But it could be a ceremony you could adopt, right, and have everybody kind of respect that and respect that time. But make sure you're getting the value out of it. And then finally, staying ahead and targeting removal of impediments, run interference for the team. You know, say no, not right now. Learn how to say that. The more you push back and the more frequently you push back, the more they'll start to understand what you're doing. Because quite frankly, which is going to lead me to the third point here, a lot of people don't understand what you're doing. They don't get it. They've read the books. They know the buzzwords and the words and the terms and the definitions, and they probably even got a certification, but they have no idea what you're doing day to day, okay? So saying no, not right now, and then explaining why, just a brief explanation as to why. Why can't your team context switch right now? Because we have proven over and over again that we can't get our commitments out the door if we do that, or that we're being overwhelmed with our work. You know, let's have the courage, right, to say no, not right now. But we also have to understand that they may reply to you, no, not right now. You got to do this, right? I mean, there's no negotiation in this. You got to have this done. But the more we get our message out there, the more we socialize that, then the better shape we're going to be, because we're going to teach people how to collaborate. We're going to teach people how to negotiate and get along through this thing in the value of the customer, right? Or for the sake of the value of the customer, I guess. All right. So the final thing we got to do to be productive in our sprint is show our work frequently. We've got to be able to show our work more frequently than the sprint review or sprint demo. I told you product owners before in this podcast, if you've been following and journeying for a little while, that if you are waiting until the sprint demo or sprint review to see the work, you're too late. You got to see it more frequently than that. In fact, you know, a lot of times what I'll do is, even in a daily stand-up, you say, oh, wait a minute, Scott, your daily stand-up's going to go more than 15 minutes if you do this. Sure, it will. It may. It could. Doesn't mean that it has to. Honoring the time box is less important to me than honoring the purpose of the session. Honor the purpose of the ceremony. I put more focus on that than I do honoring the time box. Now, the time box at the sprint, that's probably something you got to honor out the gate. Don't worry about it. When the team commits to a 3-day sprint, 3 days is what you got. If it's a week, if it's 2 weeks, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But on some of these other ceremonies, I tend to be a little bit more flexible on that, because I want to make sure I'm getting the value out of it. I don't want to meet just to meet. I don't want to check the box. When I ask the team, or when the team tells me, I guess, and describes to me, this is what I did since the last time we met to advance us towards a sprint goal, I don't want to simply take their word for it. I don't want to just see a card move left to right. That's just checking a box. I want to actually see, I want them to show me Because what I want to do is I want to continually reinforce and focus on that work. I want to continually reinforce and hold work and team members accountable to the definition of done. I got to do that. I got to make sure that we're building in quality. Because if we're not building in quality, we're probably producing work, rework and waste, right? We got to adhere to a standard of quality, and that standard of quality is found in the definition of done, okay? So, again, we're trying to make our sprints productive. So we've got to focus the team's attention to the current sprint. We've got to stay ahead of the work, and we've got to target the removal of the impediments, and we have to show our work frequently. So while we're showing our work frequently, let's not wait until the demo. All right. Another part of showing your work frequently actually is socializing your elevator speech and your team and what they're doing. Remember what I told you, a lot of people outside of your team, they don't know what the crap you're doing. They have no idea. They got the cert. They know the terms. They know the words, and all of that stuff is fluffy to them, right? It's like unicorn land, but they're still stuck in the same mindset and thinking patterns of the old, right? They're probably still in a traditional mindset. So what we've got to do is get them into more of a progressive mindset when it comes to these things that, hey, socializing this elevator speech could be, hey, listen, the team is making good strides on ensuring that our customers can access fill-in-the-blank widget, right? And so right now what we're doing is we're validating our findings that the customers can take advantage of this widget, you know, whatever the thing is, right? And so if you're socializing that not only in your shared care time, right, but also outside and up, outside of your organization, then you're probably going to help show that work frequently. Because if you just get a simple elevator speech out there that this is what they're doing, they may be inclined to ask you to show them. And if they're asking you to show them the progress, then you can show them the progress that has built in quality that we already talked about as part of showing your work frequently, right? And finally, and this one is kind of a rub for me. Y'all know what I mean when I say rub. Those of you who are across the pond listening to this, you may not say this is a rub. Like, this rubs me the wrong way. What I mean by that is it's in my crawl. Okay, you don't understand that one either if you're overseas. I get it. But the thing is there's a pain point for me. I have a doubt here. Okay. If we are focusing on the number of stories, or if we're focusing on the number of points that we're producing, then we may not be focusing on the delivery of value. Ooh. What I mean, and I may have alluded to this in another episode, by the way, I don't want you, product owner and team, I don't want you to focus on a story by story by story development approach, especially when you're developing software. If you're developing a story-by-story approach, then all you're doing is working. We're not leaning towards that value in the end, and that's what we want to get. We want to get to that product, okay? So we're going to focus on the delivery of value with quality and not focus on just delivering stories and certainly not delivering points. We can't qualify our work like that. We can quantify it maybe, but we can't qualify our work. And in the end, we want to deliver a potentially shippable product, right? So stick around. We're going to wrap this one up and just kind of review, I guess, these three things here. Talk a little bit more about what's coming up next. Stick around. So in the event that your sprints are not valuable and you're trying to all figure this out, if you're new or if you're old, it doesn't matter to this thing. Remember, I've always told you guys, you can't let the process become the product. The process has to improve the product, and the product for the sprint, we got to go back and think about the whole premise of what the sprint is. And so you see, we're talking about sprint being the heartbeat of Scrum. Right, where ideas are turned into value. It doesn't say, or it doesn't read, I guess, in the Scrum Guide, it doesn't say that sprints are here and they exist for teams to produce points. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is not for the team to produce a massive amount and number of stories. That's not what it's designed for. In fact, I've told you guys this before, that word story, user story, is not even in the Scrum Guide. That's something we created later as part of identifying the personas that we're working with, because our customer should be at the center of this. But I digress. But the idea here is that quality does not decrease and no changes are made that would endanger the sprint goal during the sprint. And these are fixed length ideas and events that we have here to create consistency. And so as we start kind of diving into the real definition and what it is that we want to get out of this sprint, we've got to make sure that we're reorienting and refocusing and recentering on some of the basic things. Because again, we tend to overprocess what we do just by virtue of working through this thing and working in it for a little while. And I know some of you teams out there are doing some really good things that you don't want to ditch. And that's great. And as long as you're referring again to the Scrum Guide, but you're also just honoring the idea of delivering value, delivering potentially shippable code that has value in it and it is high quality. You know, just stick to that and you're going to be fine. So, side note here as we wrap up today, I am in the process of a move. So, sorry I haven't been back with you guys, and I again apologize for the delay. I hope that the videos are that you're finding the videos on at Plant Product Owner on YouTube. I have shut down the Patreon page. I appreciate your support for what limited amount of time that I had it out there. You helped me really get a little bit more motivated and inspired here. And as soon as I get done with this move, I'm going to start doing more videos and more training opportunities and coaching opportunities with you guys. So stay tuned as more will come. Probably I'm going to go ahead and help set the expectation. It'll probably be another 6 months before I get around to that again. I would say maybe 4 to 6. We'll see how that goes. Okay. So if you have any feedback, again, hit me up on scott@plantproductowner.org. I would love to entertain some more topics and ideas. I'm looking forward to putting out a few more episodes and a string of episodes here on these events or ceremonies, as I like to call them from the Scrum Guide. And until next time, have a safe and fun lean journey, my friends.